Welcome to this week's talk. I'm All Ears by Glyn Thomas. Before Glyn speaks to us, Karen is going to read from the NIV Bible, James, chapter 1, verse 19 to verse 27. Then Pete will pray, and then we'll hear from Glyn.
My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word.
Together as Glyn comes to bring the message. Lord, his desire and his response to your calling, Lord, to commit himself to serve you in this way. And we thank you that we've been blessed to have him amongst us, and we are blessed to have him amongst us. We pray, Lord, that this morning, as he brings your word, especially as the words we've heard, we will not only hear, but we would put into action what we hear. We pray, Father, for him that he would speak with all the clarity that you give to him now, and that you'd your word, Lord, would be spoken, your instruction would be spoken, and our hearts would be ready to receive, like good soil, receiving the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pete, and to all those who've been involved in leading us in worship this morning. You're probably familiar with the phrase, "I'm all ears." Somebody's trying to speak to you and maybe you're a little bit distracted by the TV or your phone or your tablet or a book that you're reading, and it causes a little bit of tension because you're not really listening, and then you suddenly are aware of that and you say, yeah, you put everything down and you say, yes, 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 you have my full attention, I'm all ears. In other words, I'm giving you totally focused on what you are about to say. And at that moment, we can enter into some meaningful conversation, we hope, and therefore all ears is seen as being a very positive, godly posture to adopt when we're involved in other people's company. In our reading today from James chapter 1, James is, I think, enforcing the idea of listening as being good, but he says, don't stop at listening to the word. But there should also be a companion action that goes with it to make it profitable. So I'm all ears is a very good thing. But maybe I'm all ears plus something else is an even better thing. And so that's what I was to think about today as part of this sermon series called The Spiritual MOT, looking at some of the ways in which we might better fine-tune ourselves in order to ensure that we are roadworthy on our spiritual walk with God. And today I particularly want to focus on that verse from James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Now, James has already taught in the first 18 verses of this chapter about finding joy in trials. That comes not because the trials themselves are very joyful, but we find joy in trials because we know that the Lord is with us through them, as we've been reminded in communion, focusing on that idea the Lord is with us through all circumstances. And so through those trials, we can draw from his strength, and therefore we can find joy in those trials because we know he's with us and he'll see us through those things, and we can persevere and become stronger in our faith. And then if we find it hard to deal with those negative circumstances, then we're not quite sure what to do, James goes on to say, well, ask the Lord for wisdom so that you'll know what to do, how to act and react in those trials. But to do so with an act of faith, believing that you can receive God's word, but also that he'll hear your appeal and he will give you his wisdom. And we considered all of that in the first talk that we had right at the very beginning of this year online. And if you haven't heard that or you want to hear it again, you can find it if you go to our website and you can download those talks again, or you can go onto our YouTube page and hear that first talk. So today we're following on from all of that in verse 19. We're having explained that you can receive a word from the Lord. A word of wisdom is available if you ask the Lord for it. What should you then do once you've received that word that the Lord has given? And James sees it as a two-part process. It's listening and doing. Listening to what God says and then putting into action whatever you hear him saying. And he says, if we only put the first part of that into operation, if you merely listen to the word, we deceive ourselves. Now, what does that mean? Surely if we believe that the word of God is the truth, then how can listening to the word of God deceive us? But that's, of course, not what James is saying. He's saying, don't be deceived in believing that only listening to God's word is sufficient in order to grow mature as I want you to. Don't deceive yourself to believe that's the be and all of the process, just listening. You need to follow it up with that companion element, which is listening and doing what it says. It's highly likely that at least on one occasion last year, most of us, maybe all of us at some point, were sitting in a room and we decided we needed something that was in another room, either downstairs or upstairs. And we left that room and we went to that room, we went upstairs, but when we got to that point, we could not remember why we had gone there. Maybe those of us who are perhaps over 50 might experience this quite often, but it's not necessarily so. We can all experience this. And we might just stand there for a few moments and look around in the place we're in and think, now, why did I come here? And you might start saying, well, what was it? You try to remind yourself way back in that original place in your room, thinking, what was I thinking before I came here that caused me to want to leave that room and come to this one? And probably each one of us have at some point failed to remember why we're there and gone all the way back to the original room, maybe sat back down again, hoping that something will jog our memory as to what had made us go on this fruitless mission, where we didn't really achieve anything, there was no benefit. If at any point you can identify with something like that, then you'll have a great understanding of James's illustration here when he's talking about a mirror. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What's the point, says James, in looking in a mirror if you don't remember what you've seen? And what's the point in just listening to God's word if you don't put it into action? There's no spiritual growth. So don't deceive yourself, says James, in thinking that just listening to God's word is sufficient. You've got to do something with what God actually says when he speaks to us. And I think that's something that is important for all of us to remember in today's age. Because we can very easily listen to God's word. We could maybe just read the Bible every day. We could come to church services every Sunday or tune in online and we could listen to God's word. But we could then think, well, that's it then. My spiritual life's fine because I'm doing those things. But James prompts us to say perhaps we ought to do a little bit more than that. In fact, we should do. A few years ago, I tried to discipline myself to read the Bible in a year. Chose to do one of the ways of doing that was to actually have it read to me so I could listen to it and try and take it in that particular way. And so I came up with a master plan, since my family forced me to have a dog, that in order to take that dog for a walk, what I would do is when I started my dog walk, I would put on my headphones, and then I would tune into this Bible app that would read the Bible to me every day. So it would be an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage, a psalm and a proverb. And it would take me through the Bible in a year. So I would have my healthy walk with the dog, and then I would have my healthy spiritual walk with the Lord. But quite often I find that if I start my journey with something very clearly on my mind that I've got to think through, it could be a sermon, it could be a meeting I'm going to have that day, I can often find that even though the Word of God is firmly embedded in my ears and I'm hearing it very loudly in my ears as I'm walking, I'm not really taking it in. And every now and again, I can find that I'm on the Psalms and I haven't remembered any of the New Testament reading, even though I've heard it. And I've walked, and sometimes I find I've walked further in my journey with the dog than I realized I had. I thought, well, I haven't passed that by yet. Yes, I have, because my mind was on something else. And I find that in that sense, it's quite easy to allow myself to be easily distracted by something else, even though the Word of God is being read into my ears so clearly. And James is saying, don't deceive yourself, Glyn, that just listening to the Word of God being read into your ears, that will necessarily mean that you are focusing your mind on the Word of God. You've got to put something into action as well. Now, James's teaching, I want to suggest, is totally compatible with what Jesus taught in some of his parables, particularly ones that we'll be very familiar with. For example, the parable of the two builders. Remember, you've got two builders who are building a house. One decides to dig firm into a foundation to build the house. The other one decides not to bother to do that. Both of them end up building very nice houses. Both of them encounter a flood. And the one that's embedded upon the rocky foundation stands firm under the threat of the storm. And the ones who haven't laid a foundation, the house crumbles. And Jesus didn't just tell that story to some builders who were just about to engage in a building project. He told that story to ordinary people so they could understand how they're meant to build their life upon God's word. And this is how Jesus in Luke 6 is referred to in telling that story. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck and the house that could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Now, the context of that parable is that Jesus has just been teaching the people in Luke 6 about living the right way, loving your enemies, being merciful, not being judgmental, being forgiving, not being hypocritical, being a tree that bears much fruit. These were all godly characteristics that he was expecting those who were following him would live by. So that when they face any difficulties, any trials, any temptations, when they've been enticed in the wrong way to act and react, they can stand firm on what Jesus said. Look, this is how I want you to respond to these kind of trials and tests, and for you to be able to change the way which I want you to live. If you try and live your life without any identity with what I'm teaching you, then your spiritual life is going to go to pieces if things get tough, because you won't act and react in the way I'm teaching you. Instead, remember the things I'm teaching you so that when you face different experiences, you'll be able to hold on to those things, remember them, and build your life on them so that you will stand firm in your faith. Jesus said, embedding your life upon a rock, because his word is trustworthy. His word is rock, a strong foundation. As the old hymn says, "How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled." So Jesus says, make sure you build your life on what I'm saying to you, or everything will fall apart when pressure comes. In another one of Jesus' famous parables, he talks about the process of this, how you can make the word of God something that we do listen to and we do focus on. And that's in the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, where he identifies four different types of ground in which a seed can be sown, the path, the rocky places, the thorns, and the good soil. And Jesus taught when a seed falls into the good soil, it will then bear fruit. But if it falls on the path, and the birds will eat it. If it falls on the rocky places, then the sun will scorch it. If it falls on thorns, then they will be choked. It's only good soil that will bear something that will grow and blossom. Now, Jesus wasn't just teaching this to farmers about how they can go about being agriculturally sound in what they do. He taught this to ordinary people about how they can prepare the right kind of environment in which God's word can be sown into their lives. And recognizing that there are factors like an enemy or persecution or the worries and the desires of the world that can rob that word from your life. So don't allow that. Instead, nurture good soil where those things will not take away God's word from your life. Interestingly, every one of those soils involves somebody hearing God's word. So it says in the path of those who, as soon as they hear it, the seed being God's word, some people like the seed along the path. When the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word. Others like the seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble, persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Others sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of the life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, the good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. So in all four scenarios, they are all hearing the word. But 75% of those soils or grounds are not producing anything fruitful, even though they are all hearing the word. And so it's important to understand that hearing the word can't be all that there is to the process of spiritual growth, because all of these heard, but nothing grew. And that partly explains, or suggests, why loads of people can go to evangelistic campaigns and hear God's word. Loads of people can go to church for years and hear God's word, and nothing grows at all within their life. Part of the problem can be the way in which it's communicated, of course. You can't say that it's not the preacher's fault as well, because, of course, you know, anybody who's communicating the word has to think about how to do that in a way that's meaningful. But it also depends upon the soil it's going into. And so a quality word can be preached, but if the ground isn't right, there's no guarantee, and if they're hearing, that it will bear fruit. The only soil is one that he says here in the bottom one, good soil. You hear the word and accept it. Make it personal. In fact, if this parable appears in Matthew and Luke's gospel as well, and other phrases are used. So in Matthew's version, in Matthew 13, someone who hears the word, this is good soil, and understands it, this is the one who will produce a crop. And then in Luke's gospel, chapter 8, talking about the good soil, those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. To put all those together, good soil are those who hear the word but don't stop there. They accept it, they understand it, they retain it, they persevere with it, which means when floods come in our life and troubles and persecutions or worry or desire, we won't allow those things to rob us of the word. And we do all of this with a noble and good heart. And that's what James says in the reading today. Before he says anything about hearing the word and making sure you act upon it, he says, make sure the heart is right. He starts his letter by saying, consider it all joy when you face trials. Find a joyful aspect rising up within you because the Lord is with you with them all. Bring God's wisdom into your life. Don't try and sort everything out yourself in your own understanding. Make sure your heart is right. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So James is highlighting three things here that perhaps can rob us of God's word. We are slow to listen. We are quick to speak, perhaps giving our own opinion of what we think should be done and how it should be done, rather than entertain God's will. And we become angry in our temper, and maybe associated with our pride of saying, who are you to tell me what I should do? I'm in charge of my own life. I'll do what I want. James turns that round. He says, no, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to get angry, and humbly accept the saving word planted in you. When we get it the wrong way around, then whenever we hear God's word and not putting it into action, God's word is replaced by our own reasoning, our own voice, our own preference, our own desires, that though it may be influenced or corrupted by sin, and we may wonder why perhaps things aren't quite going the way we thought they should. I'm doing my daily reading, Lord. I'm going to church every Sunday, but it's just not happening. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we putting into action what we hear the Spirit of God saying through his word into our lives? James speaks a little bit more about this in verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. These are people who are slow to listen and quick to speak. People whose tongues are causing them to close their ears to hear anything else other than their own voice. And James talks a lot more about the tongue, and we'll look at that later on in this series. He may particularly have been thinking about Pharisees and Sadducees, who are very, very vocal with their their opinions on how everybody should abide by what they're teaching, their traditions and their rituals. But of course, their hearts were far from the Lord. Of course, they themselves were influential in helping Jesus to be arrested, persecuted, and eventually killed. As far as James is concerned, the outworking of God's word in a person's life should not only glorify God, but it should benefit other people. Because God's word is to love God and love our neighbor. It's a twofold thing. It's not one or the other. And so he ends this part of the reading by saying, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Caring for the vulnerable, says James, is an expression of godly religion. But also caring for yourself, because you are vulnerable to the corruption of the world, is also vitally important. So we're not just focusing our mind on the world's way of thinking, but putting into action what God's way is wanting us to think, by doing what he says. And so just as a closing practical way of applying this, some churches at the start of every year have a verse for the year. And if you've been at another church, you might have experienced that. They might even have it in a big banner in front of them. And I want to suggest that maybe this year, particularly this year, because it's our 40th anniversary year, in July we'll be celebrating that, maybe we'd like to take on board this teaching to be our verse for the year. So James 1:22 for 2022, easy way to remember it. 1:22 for 2022, do not merely listen to the word, but to do what it says. And to pray into that. And it might have a different outworking in different ways for each one of us, I'm sure it will. But to pray into that and say, Lord, I want to have this taking place and affecting me as a parent, or as a spouse, or as a child, or as a brother and sister in my family. I want to hear your word, and I want to do what you say. In my neighborhood, in my relationship with my fellow community, or in my workplace amongst my fellow colleagues, I want to hear your word, and I want to do what you say, that it might impact my relationship in these areas. And as a church, allowing it to have a positive outworking in our mission to know, love, serve God and our neighbors in this area and further afield, in this place at this time, so that we remain firm in our faith and find ourselves, if we go through any storms this year, that we will be firm and faithful and fruitful, perhaps bearing 60, 30, 60, maybe 100 times what God sows into our lives, that he may be glorified in and through us. Let's just pray into that, and then the band will lead us in a closing song. Let's pray. Lord, you have said so much to us over so many years, and lots of that, Lord, has really impacted our life for good, and we are where we are today because you have spoken to us and we have received what you have said. Or we're where we are today, Lord, because you have spoken to us and we've not received what you've said. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and you will speak to us. That's what people do when they're walking alongside us. They enter into meaningful conversation. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to have access to your word. And Lord, some of it can be hard to read, and some of it, Lord, we might read faithfully and not really get anything out of it. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to allow you to bring alive your word this year. Those things, Lord, that you want to read through your, speak to us through your written word, or maybe, Lord, you want to speak to us directly, prophetically into our life. And a very specific, unique word you want to speak to us, Lord, that's confirmed through your written word, that you want, that might even bring a total transformation, Lord, into what we're currently doing and what you want us to do. Lord, help us to be people, Lord, who will hear it and to be act upon it. Lord, we're meant to, in all that we do, sharing of communion, gathering together in worship, and serving you in this world, to do it in remembrance of you. May, Lord, we be a faithful witness for you this week, in whatever circumstances you take us in. Help us, Lord, to hear what you are saying by your Spirit into our lives. And help us, Lord, to be faithful in seeing the outworking of that. And may we be a firm, standing, and fruitful church in 2022, as we don't merely listen to your word, but also do what it says. For your glory, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.